Hey, once again, a very good morning to one and all. It's a joy and privilege to share the Word of God with you on the first Sunday of the final month of the year. We will continue with our study on the book of Ecclesiastes. We are now into the second last chapter, and by next Sunday, our senior pastor, Edwin Lam, will wrap up the so-called the final chapter. Now, I've entitled the topic this morning, How Then Should One Live, based on Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 10. I want to thank Dr. Michael Kaur for sharing with us last Sunday, reminding us that there is no separation of chapters, but the whole book of Ecclesiastes is a continuation. Until unless we know this, then we think that every chapter is different. It is not, because chapters and segments are separated by biblical scholars. In its original form, it is just one book without chapter, maybe paragraphs and things like this. So it's good for us to understand the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, so far, we have done 10 chapters. I think by now, more or less, we know a little bit of Ecclesiastes, and for some of us, more of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Koheleth, or the what we call the preacher or the teacher, has really some hard sayings about life in general. So far, after the 10 chapters, we are told that basically life under the sun is unfair. Whether one obeys all the rules, live a good life, treats others fairly and justly, or one who is evil and wicked, all will end up in the same place, the grave. Now, King Solomon observes that the good die young, while the wicked seem to live forever. The fool is given authority, while the wise are made servants. All the things we are taught to pursue, things that are supposed to bring us happiness, actually only bring us more anxiety. He says, with greater wealth comes more worries. With greater power comes more enemies. No matter what appetite we try to satisfy, we only end up wetting it for more. Nothing satisfies. We are left wondering if any good can come out of life. That is the presupposition of King Solomon. And we thank God that we have been waiting for the final chapter to come on, that all these presuppositions that the Koheleth had will all be evaporated. That at the end of the day, it is about God. It is about God. God the Almighty. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, seemingly we always hear the word wisdom. Yes, it is a wisdom literature. It is about wise living. It is about making wise decisions. But sometimes the book of Ecclesiastes, besides the wisdom, is actually what Dr. Michael Kaur reminded us last Sunday, CSI, common sense instruction. Sometimes in the book of Ecclesiastes, you look at it and you ponder and you reflect and say, huh? You call this wisdom? This is common sense, right? Some of the things in life, we just use common sense. Some of the things, we need wisdom. I think in life, common sense prevails most of the time. When you wake up, it's time to go to the office. You don't seek for wisdom whether to go or not. You go because it's time for you to work. And you don't wear your pajamas to work. You open your wardrobe. Common sense dictates that you should wear accordingly to the office, to a dinner, or to some important event. When you're hungry, you go and take food. When you're thirsty, you drink. All these are common sense where we don't need wisdom to direct us. We don't need wisdom to so-called guide us. Now, in his presupposition of the vanity of life, Kohelet there encourages enjoyment of life. He says that since life is full of vanities, then why not just enjoy life? And this morning, we want to so-called, as we move into chapter 11, it's basically calls for common sense instruction. If you look at the whole chapter, there's nothing new under the sun. Common sense dictates that we should do what we should do, basically. You know, the uncertainty and unpredictability of life, we cannot so-called dictate. What is in the future is uncertain. What is in the future is unpredictable. We cannot dictate. But we can, based on what is uncertain or based on what is unpredictable, we can behave in a manner that befits our so-called life on earth. Meaning, what we then should do with our present situation. In our present moment, what then should we do in view of the uncertainty in the future, in view of the unpredictable future? Now, this morning, as we turn to Ecclesiastes 11, let me read to all of us the whole chapter, 10 verses there, and I have divided it into two segments. The first one, verses 1 to 6, the uncertain future and the present behavior, and verses 7 to 10, the certain future and the present behavior is printed in your bulletin. You may just follow along. Beginning with verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to 7 years to 8, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning and at evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Verse 7, light is sweet and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all, but let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Verse 9, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. Your youth, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Now, firstly, the first six verses, the uncertain future and present behavior. Now, verses 1 and 2, it talks about investment. Okay? The investment. Now, I must highlight to us that these couple of verses here, especially the first six verses, there are many scholars who come up with different interpretations. Some prefer to interpret the first two verses as act of charity. But many of the scholars prefer it as an investment because of verses 3, 4, and so forth. Because the charity does not, so-called, fit in as nicely as investment. Because basically, you say, when you do a good act, it will come back to you. Just like cast bread onto the water, it'll come back to you in later days. Fine with that. But when we come to verses 3 and 4, you'll have a difficulty to connect the whole 4 or 5 verses. So many scholars prefer to take it as an investment. This is just for your knowledge. Now, to cast the bread on the water and also to wait for its returns speaks of investment. Now, for investment to take place, first and foremost, you must have the money. You must have the so-called assets. That is the requirement. And then in verse 2, it says here, give portions to 7 years to 8. It talks about the redistribution of wealth, or what they call in the investment terms, the diversification of wealth. Do not sow, in other words, put all your eggs in one basket, distribute it around, seven or eight, and then at the end of the day, you will have your wealth. And that is the reason, and that is the reality, because the second part of verse 2, it says here, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. For you do not know what the future holds, and therefore, in terms of investment, it is best to diversify, to cast your bread in the waters to seven to eight portions, and then at the end of the day, you will have some returns. The reality is this, that disaster may come upon you, for you do not know, because the future is uncertain. And if the future is uncertain, the Koilef here is saying, what you have now, you should make full use of it. And in making full use of it, don't be like a fool putting everything into one basket, but to diversify it, to spread it across, so that you will have a good return. Now, I like John Walbert and Roy Zak in this, he says, pertaining to this investment thing. He says, in view of the possibility of disaster, a person should make prudent investments in numerous ventures to 7 years to eight rather than put all his eggs in one basket. For a practical example of this advice, the New English Bible, the NEB, accurately reflects this interpretation of Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. That's why I say some call it the charity, but I think the NEB has a correct interpretation in that it talks about investment. And next thing it says, send your grain across the seas and in time you will get a return. Return your merchandise or divide your merchandise among seven ventures, eight maybe, since you do not know what disasters may occur on earth. So it's best to diversify in your investment. In your investment. Temasek Holdings is doing this. I don't know whether they read Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. Temasek Holdings, they don't put all their eggs in one basket. Next thing, invest is about investing for future needs. In other words, plan wisely and prudently because you do not know what the future will bring. It may bring to you disasters. And all of us, when we have investments, we don't invest in just with one institution. We also, with common sense, we diversify, right? We don't need the Koilef to tell us. This is what I call common sense instruction. And then we are selective with the banks or the financial institution where we put our money into. How many of us will put into a bank that is not so reliable? We still put in the big four, right? Chances are. And then it calls for prudence. It calls for wisdom to select, okay? This, someone said this, if you fail to plan, you're actually also making a plan. You plan to fail. You know, we have just concluded the 2018 budget for New Life Baptist Church. A prudent budget, I believe, planned wisely with much prayer on bended knees. Because if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Because planning is important. You know, when it comes to church planning, there's always a tension. There's always a tension between faith and stewardship. There's always this tension. Sometimes you wonder why we plan. If this is God's work, God will provide. But then, on the other hand, we need to exercise good stewardship and therefore we plan. We plan wisely, we plan prudently. You know, sometimes faith and foolishness is separated by just a thin line between faith and foolishness. And therefore, this is important for us, especially as a church, as we stand on the threshold of another year, we must trust the leaders that they have done enough homework, and based perhaps on some past years' experiences, they're able to come out with a budget that will see us through for the year 2018. Not that we have lost faith in God, not that we want to use our own human knowledge, intelligence, and wisdom. No, but it's in the exercise of faith and stewardship that we come up with the budget. And I believe it is a budget that is acceptable, a budget that all of us will contribute into so that we'll see through the work of God in our midst in the year 2018. There's a Chinese proverb, there's a Chinese saying that there's, you know, 一年之计在于, someone shout, 春, right? 一日之计在于晨. You know, for the benefit of those who do not understand Mandarin, basically it says that in our yearly planning, we should start it in spring. Because in a year, in China, there are four seasons, like spring, summer, autumn, and winter. So to start the year, you plan it in spring. And for each day, the daily planning, we begin the planning in the early hours of the morning at dawn. This is so-called wise saying. Secondly, the inevitable, verses 3 and 4. Things beyond our control. We cannot control nature. We cannot control Mao Agong from erupting. We cannot control the wind. It says here in verses 3 and 4, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. That is common sense, right? Or whether a tree falls on the north or the south, in a place where it falls, there will it lie. I think Kohelet doesn't need to write all this, we also know, right? It's common sense. But then he writes to us. That's why I say the book of Ecclesiastes, sometimes we look at it as a wisdom literature, sometimes we see it as, wow, all these are common sense things. It says, whoever watches the wind will not plant, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Verses 3 and 4. The inevitable. But what I like about is this. Eugene Peterson, in his so-called the message, he has this to say. He says, especially pertaining to verses 3 and 4, he says, when the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Of course, we know that we cannot see the wind, right? But we can see where the wind is coming from by the moving of the branches and the swaying of things. We know that the wind is at work. You see, do your own work. That means mind your own business. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. This is according to Eugene Peterson's interpretation of verses 3 and 4 of Ecclesiastes 11. Don't sit there idling. In the meantime, you do not know and you cannot control the wind or you cannot stop the rain from coming down. Do what you can. Get on with your life. And the same two verses in his writing, Derek Kirchner, he reiterates the same idea and underscores the same idea of that of Eugene Peterson. And this is what he says, Derek Kirchner, in his book, The Message of Ecclesiastes. He says, the thought of verses 3 and 4 brings together the things we can do nothing about and those that call for firm decision and action. The two examples given here, the clouds which follow their own laws and times, not ours, and the fallen tree which has consulted no one's convenience, may start us thinking of maybes and might have beens. And it goes on. But our business is to grapple with what is and what lies within reach. Few great enterprises have waited for ideal conditions. No more should we. So this is basically common sense. That things that we have no control over, nature, we just have to move on in life in view of what is uncertain in the future. Do your best. Do what you can. The resources given you, multiply them in view of the uncertain future, for you do not know, in verse 2, what will come. Disaster may come. That's why I say when we take the interpretation of the investment, it makes more sense when we come to verses 3 and 4. When we talk about charity, then it is very difficult. The next thing, in view of the uncertain future, the invisible hand of God. We cannot see the invisible hand of God, the moving of God's hand. Verses 5 and 6, it says here, as you do not know the path of the wind, this is caused by the hand of God that moved them, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb. This is all the work of God. So you cannot understand the work of God. We must, in all humility, accept this fact that we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand the work of God. He is the maker of all things. And verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and at evening, let not your hands be idle. Continue to work. Let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. So, if you cannot understand which will go well, and we think of the work of God, we cannot understand. Therefore, we need to do what we can at the present moment. Because here, in this couple of verses here, three times, the Kohelet reminds us that we cannot comprehend the works of God, the nature of God, the work of nature about God and future. We cannot, firstly, in verses 5 and 6, we cannot comprehend the works of nature. You look at verse 5, the first part. As you do not know the path of the wind, and then drop down to verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and in the evening, sow your seed in the morning and at evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed. When it comes to sowing, you do not know which will succeed. When it comes to the wind, you do not know which path the wind is taking. That is nature. And the verse 6, of course, is agriculture. We cannot understand nature. We cannot understand agriculture. But all this came about, it is because of God's hand. We can do all the best farming we can, but if God doesn't send the rain or the sunshine, our plants or our crops will not grow or prosper. It is still the invisible hand of God moving in our midst. Kohelet is trying to tell them that God is still the unseen God, and his hands are moving in ways that are invisible to our naked eyes. Not only to nature, but we cannot understand God. You look at verse 5, the second part. For you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. We cannot understand nature, agriculture, God, and we cannot understand what will happen in the future. Move backward to verse 2, second part. For you do not know what disaster may come upon you. Three times. For you do not know, for you do not understand, for you do not comprehend. God says it three times here in the scriptures. We cannot understand. We cannot really understand. You know, disaster, one thing about disaster doesn't need to make appointments. Disaster doesn't need to make announcements. Disaster just come anytime she wishes. You know why disaster will not make an announcement? Disaster will not make an appointment? How many of us will entertain that appointment if disaster wants to make an appointment with you? Disaster comes without making any announcement to. Mao Agong is not going to tell you when it's going to fully erupt or when it's going to take a back seat, relax, and then go back to normal. Nobody knows. But all I know, people are trying to get out of Bali, Denpasar, that's all. My daughter was stranded there. She was stranded. Her flight on Thursday morning was cancelled. Frantically, she was looking for another flight. Couldn't. Finally, her brother, Andrew, managed to book for her a KLM flight on Friday night. Guess what? About 12 hours before the flight time, KLM also cancelled. But I think you all will like KLM. KLM is very responsible. Say, sorry, we have cancelled our flight, but we have put you on SQ. We do not know. One moment seems like a disaster, next moment like a blessing. We do not know. Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know SQ means Singapore International Airlines. We do not know what will happen. Disaster doesn't make an appointment with us. Disaster will not make an announcement. She just comes anytime. We are fearful for the future. We do not know what the future holds. Listen to Rick Warren. In his Daily Hope Nav on the 24th of November 2015, he said this. He says, one of the great fears we all face is the fear of the future. We fear for the futures of our families, our friends, our jobs, etc. It is natural. We are not in control. But that realization should drive us to trust God more deeply. We might not be in control of the future, of our future, but God is. God is in control. And therefore, we need to trust God. So to sum this segment up, when we talk about the uncertainty of the future and our present behavior, we must look into what we have at the present moment. If it's investable, invest them. There are certain things that are inevitable. We cannot see the things that are beyond our control. Do our best. And of course, understand that in all this we cannot comprehend because God is invisible and His invisible hands are moving in our midst. The next segment, the certain future and present behavior. Verses 7 and 8, the next segment, the certain future and present behavior. That will take us from verse 7 to verse 9. Firstly, in verses 7 and 8, the author talks about the joy of life. He says here, light is sweet and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all, but let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. So here, the Koheleth's advice is this. Live life to the fullest. Live life to the fullest. Make hay while the sun shines. For we do not know what will happen because everything to come is meaningless. Meaningless. You know, Koheleth here is saying this, that light is sweet. Early in the morning when we see the sunrise, when there's sunlight, we are so-called happy to live another day. And then we know that at the end of the day, the sun will set. It's the rhythm of life. The sun rises, the sun sets. And when the sun sets, there'll be darkness. And he says the second part of verse 8. He says, while the sun shines, let him enjoy them all, because light is sweet. But let him remember. Koheleth also reminds the hearers that the days of darkness are many, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Koheleth is saying that enjoy life while it lasts. That is his presupposition. If everything to come is darkness and everything to come is meaningless, enjoy the best of life right now, what you have. Because in time to come, you will become old. In time to come, you will have less mobility. In time to come, you will not be able to eat much. Let's listen to Frank Gebelian in his commentary on Ecclesiastes on these two verses. He says it. One must face the inevitable restrictions that old age brings, just as he sees the sun going down toward evening and eventually setting, bringing the final darkness of night, verse 8. Life is lived in a world of vanity, and part of the vanity is the process of aging. All of us will age in time to come. Some of us, like myself, already aged. Age will catch up with us. I look young because I have this formula. Share with you the secret. When age catches up with you, you catch up with fashion. That's why I look young. But the fact is, I'm old. I'm already aged. You know, Frank Gebelin said this, the vanity of aging, the process of aging. You know, all of us age. You know, it's very difficult. Do you know that? Psychologically, it is very difficult for athletes to admit that they have aged or they have slowed down. Because all professional athletes, whether you are a basketball player or a footballer, you all know which team I support. I don't want to entertain Stone, so never mind. Gary Neville, those early days, he played for this big club. Okay? He's a very good defender. I support this club. And Jerome is looking at me. Bro, 3-1 last night. Good. You know, he's so fast. But when he reached his early 30s, he has slowed down a lot. And the coach had to bench him and once in a while let him play. And it was very pathetic. I felt for him because those younger forwards are running rings around him. Bro, earlier days, nobody could do that to him. But in his later days, he had to face the reality that age has caught up with him. Lionel Messi is the number one now. Give Lionel Messi another 5-7 years, there'll be no more Lionel Messi. Wayne Rooney used to be like this. He's not scoring today. Age has caught up with you. Before you can strike the ball is so-called stolen. You lift up your leg, suddenly you realize where's the ball. Hello, you're slow because someone has taken the ball away. That is life. That is life. We cannot admit. Sometimes we refuse to admit that we are getting old. Those of us who are in my age, you realize that when it comes to eating prawns, to the young people, it is quantity. My age, quota. You know, the young people, when they go for a buffet, you can fill the whole plate with prawns, right? Big prawns. For me, after the second one, third one, I'm contemplating whether to have or not. After the third one, it's really the quota. It's not the quantity, it's the quota. Young people, when they hit the hawker center, when they are very, very hungry, order a plate of char kway teow, followed with a bowl of laksa, and they wash it down with chendol with a lot of coconut milk. And they gather together, they can say grace for the food. For me, if I order a plate of char kway teow followed with a bowl of laksa, and to wash it down with the rich coconut chendol, I wouldn't be saying grace. I'd be singing the hymn of assurance, nearer my God to thee. You see, a young person and an old person, very different. We have our quotas. The young people, no problem. They can do whatever they like. Life is like this. We will get old someday. Someone said this. Life is about the bill, it's about the pill, and it's about the will. Agree? You know the bill. At the end of the month, there are bills waiting for us to settle monthly. Who has no bills to pay here? All of us have. We work because there are bills at the end of the day to pay. You know, some of us work very hard. But in Japan, some of them work really, really, really hard. And they have actually coined the term karoshi, karoshi, right? Karoshi literally means that you die, you work until you die, or you literally die at your workstation. That's karoshi. And Fred is sitting there. Talk to Fred. Fred will tell you, I'm overworked. Fred, we know because the newspaper came out, all young doctors overwork. Unless you're the exceptional one. Other than that, they have overwork. You know, life is meaningless according to Kohelev. He did not say pay bills, because in those days there are no bills, all hard cash. But in the rhetorical question, it gives to us the idea, is this meaningless toy under the sun? This is what he says. Say, what does a man gain from all his labor at which he toys under the sun? That is a rhetorical question. What is the point that we work so hard at the end of the day to pay the bill? And to us, if you look at it in a very philosophical angle, you'll realize that life at the end of the day is about bill, is about pill, is about the will. Let's look at the pill, next thing. When we get old, we need the pill. We need the medication to sustain us. The Chinese say, san gao. Right? Some of us are having hypertension, high cholesterol, whatnot. High sugar diabetes. Basically, we are sustained by the pill. Right? We are sustained by the pill. When age catches up with us, we cannot help but catch up with pills. And some of us have a lot of pills, right? My mother, 20 over years ago, heart bypass, she got diabetes, she got high cholesterol, she got everything, almost everything. And it's very hard to go for holiday. Each time when she goes for holiday, my sister will grumble because my sister goes with her, not me. My sister said, in Cantonese, hou kan na ni jim chi, zap yok to zap go to sam le. Meaning I have to pack the to pack the medicine is more than packing the clothing. Hello, that is life. Pills. Look at what Koilas says in verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 11. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Backache, knee pain. Some of our folks here are enjoying it already. Knee pain. Right? You cannot walk. I don't mean to use the word enjoying. You're actually suffering from knee pain. This is part of aging. Part of aging. We cannot do without. Next thing. When you are young, you work very hard to pay the bills. When you're getting older, you're sustained by the pills. Before we depart, we think of the will, right? The management of wealth. Who to pass the wealth to. And we are concerned for the next generation. History tells us that one generation accumulated all the wealth, the next generation just squandered it. And the one who is going to leave the wealth behind is always of concern. Whether the person is able to continue to manage the wealth or the person is going to squander it. Look at Ecclesiastes 2, 18 and 19. Look at the desperate state of Koheleth. He says, I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool, yet he'll have control over all the work into which I poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. This too is meaningless. So enjoy life to the fullest, the joy of life, because of the certain future. The certain future is that you will grow old. So while before you grow old, enjoy life as it is. That is the Koheleth advice. Next thing, the Jambre of Youth, verse 9. He says, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. So Koheleth advice, very quickly, Koheleth advice to the young person is this, common sense. While you're young, take advantage of your youthful capacity to enjoy life. While you can enjoy the prawns in terms of quantity, enjoy it. Don't be one day you think of the quota. Enjoy life. Reason, you will someday grow old and be restricted by your mobility. You'll be restricted in your diet because of health reasons. And next thing, the judgment of God. He says in all this, drop to verse 9, the second part. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Remember this, in enjoyment. Remember God, because
God is going to judge you. Kohi left advice to the young people and all of us is this: in view of God's judgment, be selective and wise in our living, in our diet. Be wise. Reason, you have to give an account before God of what you do. Be selective and wise in all the things that we do. Time is up. And in conclusion, very quickly, how then should one live? In view of the uncertain future, in view of the certain future, there are two things. One is uncertain, one is certain. The uncertain is that we do not know what will happen tomorrow. The certain thing is that we will all grow old. So in view of this, what then should our response, how then should we live at this present moment? Number one, in view of what is uncertain in the future, plan well. Plan well. Plan it well so that you can at least meet up to the expectations or the unexpected events of the future. And secondly, in view of what is certain in the future, that all of us will grow old, live well. Live well. Keep ourselves healthy, keep ourselves strong, keep ourselves mobile. And then last but not least, in view of God's judgment in the future, walk well. Because one day, all of us will have to face God and God will meet out to us that judgment. So therefore, plan well, live well, walk well. And I'll invite the music team to come on stage to lead us in the closing song, The Potter's Hand. May God help us as we think of the uncertain future. We do not know what will come. May God also help us to anticipate the certain future that all of us will grow old. And meanwhile, ask God to help us to walk well as believers for our Lord Jesus Christ. The Potter's Hand, shall we all rise to sing this closing song together? The Potter's Hand.